I need my husband here. Okay. I think, no. Can you hear me? Are you sure? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, to see all your beautiful faces. You're all beautiful. Amen. So we're going to be talking this morning about the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So if you're taking notes, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to go to John 16, reading from verses 5 to 15. Amen. Say amen when you find it. I'm a little bit hard of hearing, so you'll have to say it a bit louder. Amen. Okay. So we're going to be reading from John 16, verses 5 to 15. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? This is Jesus speaking. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Amen. We're living in a very technical age. Would you agree with me? It's called the digital age, where there's a vast amount of knowledge and information at our disposal. Amen? Where anything we need to be informed about, from world politics to the latest perfume to any new fad, can be Googled in an instant. Where years ago you would have to go to the library and probably get out 10 different books to study a particular topic, you can now go and Google that in an instant. We are in an age of information, very much in an age of information. And there's much good that comes from that, but also a lot of evil. And I believe that as we look at the world situation now in so many different countries, the truth is becoming blurred. We have fake news, real news. We have this particular religion or that particular religion. And God has said that there are many, many voices in the world and all have significance. You can listen to one particular person and you think, that's pretty good. Then you can listen to somebody else who speaks about something completely different and you can get something out of that. And if we're not careful, we can produce our own truth. But he, the Spirit of truth, has come to guide us into all truth. When you're born again, Jesus says that the Spirit of God is given into our lives to be our comforter, to be our guide, to be the one who reveals Christ to us in all our fullness. God also says that in the last days, good will be called evil and evil good. And how many of you agree with me today that we see much of that now? The things that were talked of as evil at one time is now embraced by society. And the things that are good or seemingly seem to be very good at one time, people are now calling evil. And that's what I watch the TV. I see a lot of things that even represent Christianity in a negative way. in a way where we're looked at as pious and quite legalistic. But I know that the truth is the only thing that's going to set people free. And the Holy Spirit has come to reveal truth, because he's come to reveal who? Jesus. It says here that he will not speak of his own, but what he hears, he will speak. From the Godhead, he speaks and he glorifies one person, and that is Christ. Because of what? Because Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And so when we embrace him and his word, we know truth, we have life, and we follow his way. The word also said that in the last days, there would be a strong delusion that would come upon the earth for those who love not the truth, that would even be able to hoodwink, so to speak, the very elect, if that were possible. But I don't believe it's possible if we are filled with the Spirit and we are walking in his way and in his truth. But you have to be careful with so much information that we have now that you do not become deceived. And so there's a great need for us to have discernment, to walk by the Spirit, to be encouraged by the Spirit and his guidance. And I think we can echo, really, the words of Moses in Exodus 13. He says this, when he's seeking to see God's glory. Do you remember the story when he's hidden in the rock? And God is saying, I'm going to go with you, but I'm not going to go with these children of Israel because they're a stiff-necked people. And this is what Moses said to God. He said this, if you are the one who guides me into all truth, then show me your glory. I want to know the way. This is Moses asking God, show me your way. And that should be the heart's cry of all of us today. God, I don't want to go the way of man. I don't want to go the way of my flesh. I want to do it your way and your way alone. So we see that the Holy Spirit is given as a guide. And I began to think about guides and how important they are. How many of you have seen these documentaries where they climb up Everest or they climb up the Himalayas? And they've got these guides that go with them that don't seem to need half as much, rigmarole, but they don't have as much as all this stuff that the others seem to need to climb this mountain, because they've already walked that way before. They know the pitfalls. They know the dangers. They know everything that lays before these people who are going to the summit of Everest. And I thought, you know, when you look at Jesus, he walked this walk before us. He's walked as a man on earth. He's not only God, but he is man. And he walked and he knows every danger. The word of God says he has walked and yet without sin. And that's an amazing thing, that because of him, we can know fullness of life. And we can have the person of the Holy Spirit come and dwell in our hearts. Because he is the way, because he is the truth, and because he is the life. So how do we know, when we hear all these different voices, God, what is your voice? What is the voice of God? I believe God's voice always lines up with his word. It always shows the character of Christ in everything. And when we look at Christ, what do we see? Because sometimes as Christians, we can lean one way or the other way. It can be all the wrath of God, or it can be all lovely, and God loves us, and there's never any balance. And I believe God said to me and to my heart, Christ is both the lion and the lamb. He's not one or the other. He's both. He is power and he is gentleness. He is authority and yet his humility incarnate. So we see his wrath but we see his mercy, his Alpha, his the Omega, he's the servant, and yet he's the king. And so when we come to discern his word, this is the thing that we need as our benchmark. Even within our lives, we need to say, God, flow through me not only as a lion, but as the lamb. Not only as the lamb, but as the lion. And so often I see couples, and I think God has got a sense of humor, but because it always seems like he brings opposites together. And I didn't want to use Joe and Claire, but sometimes I just see, like in Joe, he's the lion, you know? God is the Lord, he's powerful, and he is. And then I see in Claire the gentleness of the lamb. And that's how God wants to bring balance. Whenever we're coming to anything to discern it, that it leads us into truth and there is a balance to God's word. I do really, really believe that. And this is what God says of himself. Of his own character. He said, I am the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. That's our God. Amen? He's merciful. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's abounding in goodness and truth. Does that mean that his goodness and his truth is weak on sin? No. He came to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment through the Holy Spirit within this world. And that is what we all do, guys. We're to be salt and to be light in this generation, in our generation. Our life should convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, because the Holy Spirit himself dwells in each one of us. And we need his guidance, and we need to hear what he's telling us to do. So we know that there has to be balance. We must know him as the lion and the lamb so we can discern correctly and rightly, dividing his truth. And you know the good thing about God is he doesn't mind if we test the spirit. He says you are to test the spirits to see if they are of God or not. Amen? Rightly dividing the word, discerning the spirit. There's a story in the book of Acts where the Bereans were listening to the Apostle Paul, and because they weren't quite sure, it said they went back and went through the scriptures. So I just really want to encourage you all this morning. You don't have to take everything on board. Even what I'm saying to you here this morning, if there are certain things and you think, I'm not quite sure about that, then you go and you study the scripture for yourselves, because that is what God is asking us to do. And how many of you know that many of us, you have maybe walked with the Lord how many years? I've walked with the Lord 32 years. Amen? And probably a lot of you have too. But that doesn't mean that our perspective of a thing is always right. We don't always look at something and think, I've got this right. And I think if we ever get that type of mind, then we need to question ourselves. And there was a story in the Bible of a prophet. You probably might not be able to guess his name, but he was the prophet Samuel. And he had walked with the Lord from a child. Amen? And it comes where God is asking him, I want you to go and anoint one of Jesse's sons who is to be the new king of Israel. Now, this is a man who'd walked with God for a long time. A long time. Had heard God's voice. And he says, okay, I'll go. So off he trots, and he goes to see Jesse. And he says, one of your sons is to be anointed king. Can you bring them out for me? So out he brings them. Eliab, big, tall guy. Here he comes. And he says, wow, this surely has got to be God's anointed. Look how big he is. Look how strong he is. His name actually meant idol of his father. So if you imagine this, he's bringing out his son, Jesse. This is my son. He's so good. He's got to be the one. He's lovely. He's big. He's handsome. He has to be the one because he was his father's idol, his father's favorite. And God says, It's not him. Not him. Samuel's like, oh, okay. Can you bring someone else? So he brings out Shema. And out Shema comes. His name meant self-existent. Isn't that kind of amazing?
Yes.
Self-existent. Love myself. Selfie. Let's all have a selfie. Because I'm just so lovely. He was a bit of a narcissist. It was all about him. So out he comes. Well, maybe this is the one. He's a bit overconfident. I don't see much humility about him, but maybe it is. No, it's not him. Okay. God, you told me to come here. Who is it then? What about Abahad? His name means liberal. It's got to be me. I'm liberal. Anything goes. You know? And you can see God thinking, Samuel thinking, oh, I don't know. I don't think it's him. Liberal. He's a bit too liberal. They might be swinging from the chandeliers or, you know, what will he be doing with all of Israel if he's king? He was too liberal. So you had someone who was his father's idol, someone was self-existent, and the other one who was very liberal. Samuel's like, well, who is it then? It's none of these. Do you have another son? And I wonder if Jesse thought, do I have another son? Oh, yeah, I do. He's out somewhere on the hills, and he's taking care of the sheep. Can't be him. Surely it can't be him. Well, you better go and get him, because it's one of your sons, and it's definitely not these three. So off he goes. And back comes David. Says that he was ruddy, a handsome young man. And his name meant beloved of God. Isn't that amazing? Beloved of God. This was a guy who everybody had just put to one side, never thought he would become king. We're talking about king here. And yet God saw his heart. And God knew that he was the one he had called. And I felt the Holy Spirit say today that there are many Davids in this congregation. You may feel that you're not important. You may feel, God, what am I doing in this job? I'm just looking after a load of old sheep. Or maybe a load of old sheep in your shop or wherever you work. And God says, I see your heart. He was the sweet psalmist, so he was a worshiper. He was someone who worshipped God on the hillside, who probably sung to the sheep. Now, I sing to my cats, but you know what I mean? This is just one of those things. I like to see the funny side of things sometimes in the Word of God. Because here he is singing to the sheep, and God is looking at his heart. He's worshipping him. And he says to Samuel, he's the one. And this is what God says to Samuel. This is a man who's walked with God for years and years and years, from a little boy who knows his voice. Knew he was saying, no, it's not these guys. But still his perception was a bit clouded. And he says this, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not look, this is he's talking about the other sons, as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. He was a shepherd boy on the hillside looking after the sheep. The family never considered him. Beloved of God, strong relationship with God. The sweet psalmist knew intimacy with God. And it says he was prudent in speech and he was careful with his words. What if Samuel had not heard God's voice and had said, no, we're just going to have the big handsome one at the beginning? What if he had said, no, he's not the one? There wouldn't have been a giant slayer. There wouldn't have been a man who raised up a mighty army for God, who people were drawn to, people in distress, people in need, people in debt, people, it said, who were bitter in soul, came to him because he was chosen of God. But what if Samuel hadn't have done that? What if he had refused to listen to God? God wants us to learn to hear his voice. He wants us to see those people's hearts who are giant slayers, people who God wants to raise up. So let's continue to listen and to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, to learn his ways so that we are not deceived. God doesn't want us to be deceived. God wants us to walk in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit and draw other people to him. He wants us to draw the Davids. He wants us to draw the people who he's going to raise up in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to end now, but this is what I wanted to encourage you in. I want you, if you don't come to the gift shop, to come. The gift shop that we have on a Friday night where we are looking for the gifts of the Spirit, where looking into the gifts of the Spirit, and to draw your gifting out. We need people to raise up in that anointing. We all need discernment. And I just want to encourage you to come. And just to end in this, that as we walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and trust what he does, that which is performed under the anointing of the Holy Spirit will have a heavenly outcome. So whatever you're doing under the anointing of God today, or tomorrow, or the next day, and seeking his guidance, then God can have an effect on people's lives through you. Amen.